Good morning. My name is Adelia Huang. I'm a hearings officer, and this is case number 1180218 regarding a towing of a vehicle. The appellant is Sherry Lunghofer, and the time right now is a little bit after 10 o'clock. It is October 25th, 2018. It looks like we do have the appellant as well as a representative on behalf of the city, but for good measure and the recording, I'd just like for you to state your name and who you are as far as the party in the case. And we'll start with you, the appellant.
My name is Lisa Schmutzler, and I'm a parking code enforcement officer.
Oh, okay, that's okay.
This is my first hearing.
No worries. And then we'll go to
you're the appellant.
It's my first hearing too.
Okay.
I'm Sherry Lunghofer.
Okay. And you're the appellant, and then
sorry.
You already introduced yourself, but could you spell your first and last name?
L-I-S-A. S-C-H-M-U-T-Z-L-E-R.
Okay, and what is your title?
I'm a parking code enforcement officer.
Thank you. So I want to just clarify, my understanding is that we scheduled this hearing within 72 hours because the vehicle is still in storage. Is that correct, Ms. Lunghofer? Okay. Okay, so this is an administrative hearing, and I will just have a couple of remarks so that I can familiarize you two with what I will expect today's proceeding to look like. At the outset, I will just explain that as a hearings officer, my role is to be a neutral decision maker. I do not work for the Bureau of Transportation, and I have no personal stake in the outcome of this proceeding. My goal is to properly enforce city code and any relevant administrative rules, and to figure out whether or not the person who ordered the tow of the vehicle, whether or not they followed the correct laws and rules. If the evidence is demonstrative of the fact that, Ms. Schmelzer did follow the correct laws and rules when the vehicle was ordered towed, then I'm required to find that the tow is valid. However, if I'm finding that the laws and rules were not followed appropriately, or that the facts were not as determined based upon the evidence I have, then I will find in your favor, Ms. Lunghofer, and I will find that the tow is invalid. The reason why I articulated the requirement that I have to find a tow valid under certain circumstances is because that's the way that my rules are written, which say that a hearings officer will find a tow is valid if the person who ordered the tow followed the correct laws and rules and the other procedural requirements under code are followed. So essentially what that means is I have no discretion in these cases. For instance, if I agreed with you, Ms. Lunghofer, that there was something really unfair about the way that the law was applied, even if I were to agree with you, the unfairness of the situation would not be something that I could invalidate the tow on. It would just be something that essentially we agree on, but that's the way the law is and I have to enforce it. So essentially, fairness doesn't matter. All that matters is whether or not the laws and rules were followed. Okay, so with that being the case, I wanna make sure that each of you have the information that the other side submitted. So I'll start with you, Ms. Lunghofer. Did you receive a packet of information at the front window before you came in here?
Yes.
Okay, did you have enough time to review it?
Yeah, I mean, I tried to look up the website on here and what 2A through 2F is, and I couldn't find it, but.
2A through 2F, is there a particular question you have?
Well, it says you need to follow the code of hearing. Yeah, the appeal hearing rules and regulations. I'm assuming they're just basic.
Yeah, and that's what I'm here to do, is to explain to you how I'm going to be making a decision and what we're going to do. So if anything that I'm telling you regarding procedure confuses either of you, let me know and I will stop and make sure to clarify that point. But if you do think you need some additional time to review the documents that you received at the window, then I can give you some additional time. What would you like to do?
Additional time within today?
Yes.
Okay, now I'm fine.
Okay. And did you have some time to read the document called Statement of Rights? And I think you were referencing the tow hearing Statement of Rights, but I wanted to make sure that if you had any questions about your rights today, that I covered them before we moved on.
Yeah, I read the rights. They
okay.
actually are listed here.
Do you have any other questions other than what you
posed?
Well,
I had taken pictures and video, and I did not know until I just read this that I was supposed to print all that out. I don't even know how you print video, but because I was just got a phone call yesterday. Didn't even get the phone call until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So I had no time to prepare for this. I didn't even have a lawyer.
And it's not necessary to have a lawyer.
I literally don't know the legal proceedings of this. This is kind of a last-ditch effort for me to appeal to some humanness here so I don't lose my vehicle.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm going to walk you through the process, and we'll get a resolution for you today. The reason why we did not give you a lot of time for letting you know about the hearing is because we had to set it within 72 business hours upon receiving your request. And we have some internal things that we have to do as far as scheduling, so this is the time that we had set for you as soon as possible. Actually works in your favor, because if I do rule that the tow is invalid, I would rule an order that the vehicle be immediately released to you. And so it's important that we get this all resolved as quickly as possible, but I want to make sure that you have the chance to present your evidence that you would like to have me consider. So the photographs and video you have, what do you anticipate or what do you intend for those images to show?
Well, the fact that there wasn't real clear sign. There's a sign and it's way far away.
Okay, so before you get into the details, I'm gonna take your testimony, but just we're not quite there yet. I just am trying to figure out how we can get the photographs or video for me to look at if.
It's on my phone.
Okay. Is it something that you can describe to me in oral testimony?
Yeah, but do you not want the details? Or?
Not right now, okay. Just a yes or no as far as
yes,
do you think.
I
okay.
Can.
When you provide your testimony, remind me again that you want, if you still want to show me your video and photos, that we'll talk about how maybe I will view them on your phone.
Okay,
but right now I'm just trying to figure out the best way for us to address that.
Okay.
So just keep that in mind when you testify. Okay, and then I wanted to verify, Ms. Lunghoffer, that we have a good address for you, because after today I'm going to be mailing you a copy of a decision in the next couple of weeks, and the address we have is on the notice of hearing that's in your packet. And it would be on the lower left-hand corner of the notice of hearing. I believe that's the document. Look at the lower left-hand corner there. Do we have your address correct?
Yes, that's it.
Okay, that's the same
that's
address
it.
We're
yes.
going to use. And then let me switch to you, Ms. Schmelzer. Did you receive a copy of the documents that Ms. Lunghoffer submitted for this case?
Yes.
Okay, great. One thing that I want to let you know, Ms. Lunghoffer, is that this is a recorded proceeding, and Ms. Schmelzer, that applies to you as well. However, I always let the appellant know this fact, because one thing that the hearings office will do with the recording is we will upload it to our hearings office website so that it's easier for both sides to access a copy of the hearing if you need to listen to it again after today. Occasionally, there are folks who tell me that they would prefer to not have that be done because they're concerned about someone else potentially listening in. So if you do have a concern, I'd be more than happy to not have the hearing audio be put up online, but it's your call, Ms. Lunghoffer.
Okay, I'm fine.
Okay. Okay, so that'll be available in about 3 business days. And then, let me just briefly describe how we're going to proceed today. So each side will be given the opportunity to tell me why they believe I should find the tow followed all the correct laws and rules, or why the correct laws and rules may not have been followed. And so I will start with the city, because the burden of proof will be on the city to demonstrate that the laws and rules are followed when the tow was ordered. After that happens, after Ms. Schmelzer testifies, then I will move to you, Ms. Lunghoffer, to provide any or ask any questions that you might have about the information Ms. Schmelzer testified to or that she submitted in the documents. And that's pretty much called cross-examination if we were to use this hearing, view it akin to a trial. It's not a trial, we're more informal. I'm just telling you that you have the chance to cross-examine or ask questions. If you do have questions, please just ask one question at a time, and this also applies to you, Ms. Schmelzer, when you have the chance to cross-examine Ms. Lunghoffer. Once that's done, I might have questions for either side. But after we go back and forth with testimony, questions, I will give each side one last chance to provide some clarifying information or argument before I make a decision. I have to make a decision today as to whether or not the tow is valid or invalid because the vehicle is still in storage. Do you have any questions? And I'll start with you, Ms. Lunghoffer. Do you have any questions?
Not at this moment.
Okay. Ms. Schmelzer, do you have any questions?
No.
Okay. So, before I place you under oath and start taking testimony, I just want to remind you that in these cases, oftentimes it's not super one side or the other as far as, oh, I'm certainly sure that the evidence shows it's either valid or invalid. Most of the times, the evidence is pretty much on par, which is illustrative of the fact that in these types of cases, the burden of proof on the city, for instance, is to show that it's more likely than not that they follow the correct laws and rules. So that means if they do have some evidence of that, your job, Ms. Lunghoffer, as the appellant challenging, is to give me some evidence that counteracts what they've provided to show me more that it's more likely than not that the laws and rules were not followed correctly. So that's the burden of proof. Essentially, if it's really close, whichever side tips like 1% more to the in their favor as far as evidence and argument, that's the side that I have to go with. Okay, and then the last thing I need to do before I place you under oath is that I'm going to have to figure out what documents I can consider. So the first page of the information you two received, it has a blue bar and it has some exhibit numbers. I looked at everything. These exhibit numbers are basically numbers that we affix to the documents that each side submitted. I looked at everything and I think everything is relevant. I will not look at something if it's not relevant. Whether or not you agree with it is a different question, which you will tell me when you're under oath. But Ms. Lungehofer, did you see anything that the city submitted that you think I should exclude or throw out because it's not relevant? Okay, same question to you, Ms. Schmelzer. Did you see anything that the appellant submitted that you think is not relevant?
I didn't get a sheet with the blue, the sheet you're referring to.
Okay, it's the exhibit list, and I apologize, it may not have been mailed to you. Essentially, all it does is list that what we have in the record, and I believe you were faxed copies. Do you have exhibit numbers on your copies? The lower left hand, lower right hand corner?
No.
Okay.
It's okay.
If you can,
sure I
since there aren't very many things here, you can just tell me what document you want me to look at if there's a specific document that you're referencing, and I'll just pipe in with the exhibit number.
Okay.
Usually the exhibits help me figure out in a case where there's lots of documents what we're talking about.
Okay.
So it sounds like everything that I received from both sides is relevant, so I'm going to go ahead and admit exhibits 1 through and including 8, and that's everything that we received, and you should all have copies of as well. Okay, so Ms. Schmelzer and Ms. Lunghoffer, please raise your right hands, and I will swear you on this at the same time. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the evidence you will give shall be the truth?
Yes.
I do.
Thank you. Okay, so let's start with you, Ms. Lunghoffer. Go ahead and tell me about what rules you followed and why you think I should find that the tow is valid.
Well,
I'm sorry, I apologize, Ms. Schmelzer. since we're starting with the city's burden of proof.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Good morning. My name's Lisa Schmelzer, and I'm employed with the City of Portland as a parking code enforcement officer. And I was employed on October 13th at approximately 11:21 in response to a service request number 929. I observed a Hyundai with a Oregon plate 124 Echo X-Ray Zebra parked in a no parking zone on the south side of Southeast Schiller between 28th and 29th, which is on public property in the city of Portland, County of Multnomah and State of Oregon. So at this time I issued citation number Henry Alpha 309-57998 for no parking anytime under City Ordinance 16.20.210. Since this was a tow request by my dispatcher, I noticed that the vehicle had previously been warned at the same location on October 10th, 2018 by Officer M122. I had to request a tow at that time. I felt it was clearly signed, and therefore I believe it's a valid tow.
Okay, and I think just to help both sides and for us to know that we're on the same page talking about the same law, I'm going to read City Code 162210 because that's what you applied, Ms. Schmeltzer, and that says it applies to no parking zones. No vehicle may park in any no parking zone at any time. Vehicles may stop in a no parking zone for a period not to exceed 30 seconds, only to load or unload passengers. So, Ms. Lunghoffer, do you have any questions for Ms. Schmeltzer?
No.
Okay. I do, Ms. Schmeltzer. I just wanted to clarify, you said that since the tow request was made by the dispatcher and because of what you observed, you called in the tow, and because the vehicle had been warned. What do you mean that the tow request was made by the dispatcher?
There was a complaint that came in, and the complainant asked that the vehicle be towed. I'm sorry, it wasn't the dispatcher.
Okay. And since it looks like there is a question about signage here, can you tell me, let's talk about the photographs that you submitted and get a little bit more into how the sign actually looked. So I see you have, I'm turning to Exhibit 8, the photographs that it looks like you took, Ms. Schmeltzer, is that right? You took these photographs?
Yes.
Okay, and so the upper right photograph shows the sign. Were there any other signs posting the no parking anytime restriction in the area?
Yeah, I believe there was a sign on the utility post ahead of the vehicle as well. But I didn't take that picture.
Is there a reason why you didn't include a picture of that?
No, there is no reason. I should have.
Okay. And to me, when I look at this photograph, it's hard for me to tell exactly like how far that sign is posted. What would your best estimate be of like, say, distance? And you could use car lengths, you know, using the size of the Hyundai.
I would say it's about 50 feet.
And what about the sign in the front? Since I don't have a photograph here, that's fine. Tell me about how far in front of the vehicle you think that sign was.
I think it was probably another 50 feet.
Okay.
And I kind of thought that the picture, the lower left, might have showed that sign and perhaps that's kind of might have been what I was thinking at the time.
Okay.
It's kind of blurry.
Ms. Lunghoffer, please go ahead and tell me your position and why you believe there might be an issue with the laws and rules being appropriately followed in this case.
I don't know about the laws and rules being appropriately followed. I'm wondering about the signage because I thought it was very obscurely signed. I don't know how long a block is, but the sign in this upper right corner is over a block away because the whole stretch of that block is longer than our average block. I live way past that sign. I didn't even see that sign. And in hindsight, after my car was towed, I started going around and I did see another sign way in front of me. Both signs to me indicated that there was no parking right in back of that and in front of both those signs. Also, there was cars parked at the time, and I took pictures of it. There's still cars parked there. I go around the bend, there's another sign, ton of cars parked there. So it's not just that the signage was bad, it was that it's completely confusing on why there's so many cars parked with these signs there. And then my car gets towed. I don't know if somebody targeted me. I don't know if the building is being harassed because the people across the way, I think, live in the other neighborhood.
Okay. Since you just mentioned the photograph, the existence of other cars parked, say, in a no parking zone is relevant. However, I don't need to look at a photograph for you to tell me that you saw other cars parked there.
Okay, but I do have pictures of it.
Right, but I don't, okay. I'm telling you, it's not necessary for me to see them because I believe you.
Okay.
Is there anything else that you'd like to testify to right now? Remember, this is your time to tell me why.
I don't know how relevant this is, but I just moved into this neighborhood. I wasn't familiar with the neighborhood. I work till about 1 in the morning. I get off, it's completely dark. There's no tow signs around. There's not multiple signs of no parking. There's no red line on the street. I talked to my manager the next day when my car was towed, because I didn't even know it was towed. I thought it was stolen. She didn't understand that this was an area. I didn't have time to get her testimony because I was just called yesterday to come here.
Okay.
So this is what I wanted to appeal to, is all that, what I just said.
Okay. Ms. Schmelzer, do you have any questions?
No.
Okay. Ms. Lunghoffer, can you tell me, did you receive that warning on the car?
I got a ticket. I didn't even look at it. I was running to work. I was late for work. I threw it on my seat. I thought it was because I was maybe parked too far away from the curb, because I was kind of far away from the curb. Anyway, I went to work. I got off it again at night, totally forgot about it. I didn't even think it had to do with a no parking area.
Okay. So regarding the any other photographs you have or video, do you think it's necessary for me to look at them?
If you believe me, no. But if you want evidence, I took pictures and videos.
Okay, and of other cars parked there illegally?
Yeah, other cars parked there, other cars parked around the bend where there's a no parking sign. That is also obscure, except they're right, that sign's right there.
Okay. Ms. Schmelzer, I would like you to respond. So do you have any position on, because the sign needed to be conspicuously posted, what about all these other cars being parked there? Is there anything, feedback you'd like to give?
Well, I'm a scooter officer, and so a lot of my work is complaint-driven. We can't be in every neighborhood, you know, every day. So when I just respond to complaints, and when I went to this location, I saw this vehicle that had previously been warned for the same thing. So I really don't have, you know, anything other to say than that I just did what I'm supposed to do.
Okay.
It's unfortunate, but.
Right, you're doing your job. But I gotta figure out, one of the things that you did was you towed the vehicle under part of the statute, the code that says towing without prior notice is okay. And that code says parking officer can, without prior notice, tow vehicle when the vehicle is illegally parked in a conspicuously posted restricted space. And so that's going to be my focus, is whether or not the restriction was conspicuously posted, because that's what the appellant is challenging primarily.
Mm-hmm.
So when I think of conspicuous, I think of pretty easy to see, noticeable, that the sign tells me what's prohibited. Do you think the sign was conspicuously posted, Ms. Schmelzer?
Yes.
Because Ms. Lunghoffer disagrees.
Well, I think the city, you know, I believe that it's 100 feet that the city can place signs. I mean, could it have been better if there was one in the center there? Yes, but But I do believe it was conspicuously signed.
So if the evidence that I have from Ms. Lunghoffer is that she didn't see the sign, is there anything that you want to point to in the photographs or anything about the situation, like how it's set up, that you would have in support of your conclusion that it was conspicuous or clearly
other posted? Than the sign that's not it's not covered by anything. A lot of times in the city, signs are, you know, have tree foliage over them. This isn't. It's a sign. I mean, as a driver, you have to see the signs before you park.
And so when Ms. Lunghoffer said that the sign that's in the picture is about at least one block away, let me see here. Yeah, is over a block away. Do you agree with that description?
No.
How? So you told me about 50 feet.
A block is over 50 feet. So 50 feet is 2.5 parking spaces, because you figure it's 20 feet per parking space. So I say that's about 2.5 spaces up, and then another 1.5 spaces in front.
Okay.
So I don't believe that's too far apart to notice.
And Ms. Lunghoffer, would you agree with that description that it's the 50 feet or 2.5 parking spaces behind you is where that
from where
sign
I was
is?
Parked, it was farther than that.
About how many parking spaces or feet?
Like this sign right here is right on the beginning of the, I mean, and again, I learned this after I got my car towed, is at the end of the block, and the block that street that I was parked on is like 2 blocks long.
But how long is a block to you, or how many cars? Or
I don't know, 8 cars?
How many cars, looking at that photograph, in that you just pointed to the upper right, upper right.
I think this is actually very deceiving. When you go, I wish I could take you there and show you where the sign is. It's way far away from where I park. I mean, I'm literally driving way past it before I even where my apartment's located, because my apartment is right there.
So when you drive past it, do you notice it though?
No, I mean, I didn't notice it. I mean, I seen the sign, and it clearly looked like, I mean, when I first started investigating this, I seen the sign, and it looked like it's making sure that you don't park past it from that point to the street. But in terms of, you know, having this, oh, this is clearly not a place you can park, no, I didn't have that sense. Again, I had just moved into the place. I'm working nights. So I'm jumping in my vehicle at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm going to work. I'm coming home in the dark. So, I mean, there's no tow signs. There's no red line on the road if it was a fire area. I mean, there's other cars parked there. Everything altogether did not give me an indication that you couldn't park there.
Okay. Is there anything else that either side would like to provide before I make a decision?
No.
I just want to appeal to the fact that my car is still in tow and the charges are adding up, and I got a notice in the mail from the city saying if I don't get my car out by the 28th, even though I'm not financially able to do so, that they can allow the tow company to sell my vehicle, my only vehicle for work, and profit from my vehicle for a parking violation.
So that's something the tow company, it sounds like, sent you, because under state law, there is a law that says that they have...
It was the city of Portland addressed.
Okay. That's certainly important to be aware of. Depending on my decision, you're gonna wanna make some decisions on your own as to whether or not you can get the car out. But let's take it one step at a time. That's just to let you know if the vehicle, it remains in storage, so that they could sell it after a certain time period. But let's hope it doesn't get to that. Okay. So, so as I mentioned, the most important thing in this case and the issue that this case must be decided on is whether or not the restriction, the no parking restriction, was conspicuously posted. There's no specific legal definition of what conspicuously posted is, whether or not, so I have to look at the specific facts and the evidence before me. After hearing everything, I am putting a lot of emphasis and basing my decision on how the sign looks in the upper right photograph of the photographs taken by the parking officer. And one thing that I want to mention, Ms. Schmelzer, is you mentioned something about there's a 100-foot policy for the city to put signs. Is that something in city code, or is that an internal policy? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm
not aware of a specific requirement under city code. Essentially, that it sounds like it's an internal policy, a decision that was made by the Bureau of Transportation about how far away signs should be posted. To me, the numbers don't mean a whole lot, because if I can't say that, you know, clearly something within 5 feet of a vehicle would be conspicuously posted if it was faced the right way and all the factors lined up. But I was trying to get an idea of where the sign would be in relationship, or how close it would be to a person, appellant, parking the car, getting out of the car, and making a reasonable effort to look around for signs. I think based upon the evidence before me, this is a close one. I think the signage that I've got in the evidence regarding the signs in this case, it's hard for me to say that they are clearly communicating to someone parking in between the signs as far as where the appellant parked, that the restriction is conspicuously posted, meaning I think the face of the sign is really clear, but when you're driving around and looking for parking and the distance away that the sign is located, I do think it makes it difficult for folks parking where the vehicle is parked to identify that no parking anytime that restriction applies. So on that basis, I will find that the tow is invalid and that the appellant will, I will order that the vehicle be released to the appellant and that she not be liable for the towing fees or costs. That is not to say that I'm saying you didn't do your job correctly or anything like that. That's not for me to say at all. I've got to work with the specific evidence that I have before me, and it was a close decision to make, and it doesn't make it easy when the law says something like it has to be conspicuously posted, and I'm trying my best as a person who also has to enforce the law, but has to look at the real life circumstances of how the signage is to make a determination. So what I'm saying is, Ms. Schmelzer, continue doing your job as you do. This is not a judgment call. I don't want you to take this personally, please. For you, Ms. Lunghoffer, that's good news for you. We're gonna hand you a piece of paper. The clerk's gonna give that to you. You're going to take it to the tow company and give them a call before you arrive to make sure that you have everything you need for your vehicle to be released.
Thank you very much.
Do you have any questions from either side?
I do have, want to say something. So in future,
oh,
this
wait.
Block is unenforceable? Until we get the city to put up another sign, is that how I'm supposed to interpret this? I mean.
So that's a good question, because, yeah, you want to know how to do your job correctly. And
yeah.
Unfortunately, that's not something that I can say. I'm kind of like looking at things after the fact and only based upon the information I have in this case. So every case is different. There might be different evidence in a specific case about how far the vehicle is parked from the signs, et cetera. So, it would be a call for PBOT to make, but again, everything is so particularized. When I get it, I have to make a call on specifically what I've got. So that's the best answer I can give.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm going to close the hearing. Take care.
Thank you.